to the cloud. There we go. Okay, so tonight's topic is conscious choice. The journey that we'll be doing is called the bridge to conscious choice. Like Colleen said, it's very powerful. What we're going to talk about first is just reviewing a little bit of what we've learned so far. We are in month 5 now, and I think a lot of you will see that where you started with this class and where you are now is a little bit different. Your intentions that you started out with may have changed a little bit. Maybe your intentions are the same, but the way that you're going to go about it may have changed a little bit. Life has maybe changed, or you have made a lot of momentum, or maybe you haven't. So we just like to kind of review at this stage, because we have a big journey tonight, and then the next few months we start moving into our kind of reflections, reviews, and where do we go next with all of this? Where do we go from here? So
manifestation.
Yeah. Manifestation. Which I did put that slide in at the end. Just so
you know. Oh, you did.
Yeah. Okay. So the first month we learned the Reiki journey techniques. We met the Reiki energy, although we all know the Reiki energy, but we met it as far as how we use it to get ourselves over the bridge of light through Hanshaozation and over to the third heaven, where the majority of our journeys take place. So that was the first month. We established that how this class is going to go is that we're going to use Reiki energy and journeying to find the answers to our questions about our next steps. We also discovered our intentions for the class and for our next step. And we also established tools to develop intentions for our next step. So our automatic writing, our intention mapping, and our journeying for ourselves. The next month, month 2, we learned about distance journey techniques. So here's where we journeyed for others. And this one was really cool because it actually just popped in almost like that week that we were going to switch the order of the class and do distant journeying techniques. And we loved how powerful that was for this class. even though we're used to distant journeying for others, it was still just a really powerful lesson. So it was the same thing that we used the Bridge of Light, Hanshaozation in to journey for others. We went and asked about their questions, about their next step, and kind of tooled around and explored the third heaven to find answers for others. So that was month 2. Oh, we also learned about the interview process. So if you're doing sessions for others through distance journeying techniques, the letting go and the bringing in, that's always such a powerful, even for our own journeys, that's always such a powerful lesson. Even we still use that. Even she still uses that in every single session today. What do you want to let go of? What do you want to bring in? What are your intentions for this session, for this journey? Then the next month was listening. So we talked about our active listening skills, listening with our ears. We talked a lot about that. And we were just talking about this the other day, how God, it's just such a power. They're such powerful exercises. It really is so life-changing when you learn to be a good active listener. It gives you freedom, gives you clarity, it's healing, and it also opens the other person up. When somebody else feels heard, they're not feeling like they need to get their words out. It removes any, there's that little squirrel, any of that urgency, and it allows you to be open to receive guidance from them and guidance for them. So that was month 3, active listening. And we also talked about,
you can hear yourself.
And you can hear yourself.
That's the other big piece with becoming a good listener, is you can hear yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It just really relaxes you, for lack of a better word. I wish I had more of an eloquent word, but geez Louise, is it a stress reduction? You start to hear people, and I shared the story of my aunt at Christmas time, my husband's aunt at Christmas time, of, you know, I've barely talked to this woman, any level of not surface talk, for 20 years, and she cried. You could tell she just needed to get her words out. So it's really amazing how it just starts to kind of open up your whole world, your relationships, your the people that you work with Reiki in, and for yourself too. We also talked about divine listening. So that's that listening with your heart. That's that spiritual listening. That's the whole body listening. We've talked a lot about this, about I believe the journey that month too was that chakra opening, and Colleen's example of the round tables, the chakra round tables, and how every chakra has an equal voice. And we still use this example of Tamsin's, you know, we're so taught to get into these chakras, into the upper and the divine, and listening to our heart. And then we just go with whatever chakras, you know, down below. And we still just crack up. I use that all the time. It's the whatever chakras. But when you start to listen to with your whole body, your instincts, your whatever chakras, they all have an equal voice, and they're all equally important. And so we went through and we got the perspective of each chakra, and we also cleared any blockages that were not allowing all of those voices to be equal. So that was also part of divine listening. It's that mind, body, spirit listening. Then we went over, this was just last month, we went over our intuition, and I'm sure this is still pretty fresh in most of your minds. We went over the different clairs and how our intuition can come to us in so many different forms, and there's not a wrong or a right. It's just our own style. And we have all of these different clair senses. We did the strawberries in the refrigerator exercise, where, you know, you and the red rubber ball was not part of last month, but the month before, where we start to really realize which senses highlight for us. So that was the intuition month, where we, and our empathy. We also talked a lot about empathy and having the balance of empathy and the compassion fatigue, and how we can use Reiki to help balance our empathy so that we can help and add more healing to the world. It's, you know, healing ourselves first, starting with ourselves first, and then we can reach out to others and reach out to our neighborhoods and to our family and friends, our neighborhoods, and then, you know, move that further and further out. So that was last month, the clair senses. I think that's where we're at as far as the review. I don't want to spend too much time in review.
Yep,
because I want to get to the information. Good. Yeah. Okay. Anybody have any questions or anything so far? Any comments? Okay. So, as we said, this month we are going to be talking about conscious choice. Quantum science suggests the existence of many possible futures for each moment of our lives. Each future lies in a state of rest until it is wakened by choices made in the present. So we all have any number of choices on any given day, and I'm going to let Colleen take the reins on this, and then I'm going to come in at the end a little bit. But I love this quote, and actually it was Brenda who is in this class, in another class that we had with her, and I've asked her if I can use this example. I thought it was a really beautiful way to explain it. Because if you're canoeing down a river and you're in a tributary and you have all of these different options that you can take, one leads to the ocean and the rest of them kind of dead end. How do you know when you're at this crux, this path in the road, on which choice to make? And so by learning about conscious choice and by learning how to journey and find our own inner guidance and listen to our own inner guidance, it helps us to highlight which path it is and which river it is that it that's going to lead us to the ocean. Every other one is still an option. And that's what Greg Braden is saying, is every other choice is still an option. It all lies in a state of rest until you make the choice to take that river, that tributary that's going to lead you down the right path.
Nice.
Yeah. So take it away, Colleen.
Okay. So remember that the title of this class is Discover Your Next Step, Conscious Intention Through Inner Guidance. Because as Robin was saying, the intentions that you wrote in the first journey on the first night may have changed. They may have stayed the same, but you've changed. Changes occur. And the thing that stays the same is your choice in each moment. Which choice are you going to make? So what we are working with is becoming conscious. First of all, to become conscious with your intention and starting to think about, well, what are your intentions? And how are you conscious about them? And, you know, now you're looking back a little bit. Some of your intentions may have changed. Some are maybe not so important as they were. The priorities have changed. So the next thing that happens,
click.
When you have conscious intention, oftentimes you have, let's say your intention, because we're talking manifestation. So we are actually talking about, manifesting things. How are you actually manifesting what you want in your life? So oftentimes with manifestation, you set an intention, you have a goal, and now maybe you have some obstacles towards that goal. Or maybe they're not really obstacles, maybe they are the steps to achieve. Maybe they are the steps you need to take, because we live in linear time. We live on the earth and things take time, and they take the steps to actually set things into motion. So the next thing that you're thinking about after intention is going into your divine solutions, your resources, that field of possibilities. Where are the possibilities? What are your possibilities? And what are your solutions for those possibilities? You have solutions in your divine self. Just as Julie was saying, we have divine gifts given to us. We also personally have divine gifts. Our divine nature is right here, and it is possible to hear our solutions from our higher consciousness and higher self and from the place of our divine gifts and talents. That's another one. We each have natural gifts and talents.
And also our divine solutions as far as the chakras and the higher solutions are concerned. You know, we do want to listen to our heart and to our divine, the divine realms and in the divine answers. Mm-hmm.
So then the next thing that happens in this, we're talking five steps to manifestation, is we step into constructive solutions. So now we're taking the conscious intention, we've got conscious thought, higher thought, we have divine solutions. Now we're bringing it into
a little squirrel.
Yeah. We've got a new squirrel that's just running back and forth. He's everywhere, right in front of us. The next thing is the constructive solution. So you could even think of these as upper chakras, lower chakras, where now you need to bring your solutions into a practical, everyday decision-making. What are the things I can do? What are, the next thing, my conscious choices? What choices do I have? What do I want to think about this? So where are my solutions? And then conscious action. So conscious action is what leads to manifestation. So some of you are really experiencing very tangible material conscious actions, setting an intention, creating the solutions from the divine, the constructive, making your choices and taking action. And so some of you, and I say, I'm going to say like Julie said too, is bring it back to me. But, you know, there are also then often in our lives, the cycle isn't necessarily about material manifestation. Maybe your actions are based on your spiritual life, or maybe they're in a key area of relationship, or maybe they're in a key area of job. So they can be in a different key area that you have these five steps to manifestation. They can be in a variety of places that you're thinking about or that are going on in your life, but it's still working in kind of these five fields to be able to create things in the way that, that you're asking for. Making sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That, you know, we talk about manifestation in a, we think about it in a realms of, you know, maybe financial success or career success or something. But what Colleen's trying to say is that that can occur in your personal life too. You might have, you know, I want to change thought patterns. I want to find love. I want to let go of this destructive relationship that I have with a friend or something like that. So I want to know more about my spiritual self. I'm working towards knowing more about spiritual answers. So all of those are intentions. So your intentions can have an entire variety. It doesn't have to just be in work or in these kind of more physical manifestations. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that Colleen and I teach that it might be a little counter, not intuitive is the wrong word, but counterculture, I guess.
Counter collective consciousness. I don't know what you're going to say, but
counter collective consciousness. Is that we actually really believe in manifestation as a verb, as an action word. I think that there's a lot of teaching out there that manifestation is one of those things that you just set an intention and then it all works out for you. I haven't found that personally to be true. And I'm not saying that that's not really important of holding that space of that intention that you want. That is very important. And saying to the universe, this is what I want. I'm setting my intention and, I want you to guide and support me as this intention manifests in my life. So yes, that's really important. I think though that there's these other four steps and action and choice. And I mean, I've said it a bunch now already, but that action, we think of it as a verb, you know, and I don't think that that's always taught that way.
Manifestation
is not always taught that way, that it is taught more of like a noun, an adjective, a thing, or more passively. Yeah.
I've always thought of it as an action.
Well, that's where I learned
that.
People teach it as a bit more of a passive thing that, oh, I create a vision board and boom, it just manifests. And it's, you know, and sometimes that does happen, but I haven't found that to be true in my own life, but I do find that things manifest after going into my higher selves and making conscious choices to take the actions that we want. So that's what I would have to say about that. Is there anything else that you want to add before I go into conscious choice in personal life about this?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So, Colleen,
can I have a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lee, you're coming out.
To me about conscious intention. Oh,
you're cutting
sorry.
Out. No, that's
can
okay.
You're
cutting out really bad, so we can't hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm over in Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, funny.
One example that occurred listening to Rand speak about his 30-year history and how he had wanted to become take the Reiki master class, but it was too expensive. And so he was forced to go back to Detroit, and he thought, I'm going back to Detroit. This is totally what I don't want. And then it turned out to be what he needed, because they were teaching the class for a much lower price, and he was able to take advantage of it. So sometimes the divine solutions come in ways that we're not expecting. That's
isn't that the truth?
Oh, thank you. So
yes,
true.
Thank you.
That is such an important lesson. And sometimes in ways you're not expecting, and sometimes the amount of time that it takes. And then you think about something and you're like, oh, that manifests. This was this thing that I had asked for a long time ago, and it manifests and at a time that I wasn't expecting. It's not always so straightforward like that, Lee. That's such a good point. Thank you so much.
Can I jump in there?
Yeah.
The way that I've been taught and trained to do is like, in the Muslim world, they say, how do you say, tie your camel and then pray, meaning take the actual steps that you can physically do, and then also seek the spiritual guidance, or the other way around, seek the spiritual guidance, but also now take the steps. And I always tell my clients and my people to ask for the divine help, but also ask to be able to recognize the solutions when they come to you, because it may not come to us in the way that we expect. So be open, but then also work. Whatever your goal is, go to work. And, oh, maybe it's this route. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's that route. But as you say, you think of manifestation as a verb. And that is exactly, which means pray for it, but then start making steps. Do the physical, you know. So that goes back into combining the upper chakras and the lower chakras of divine help and then physical manifestation. It can't just be all up here. But then of course there are people who are always, it's all about, they do the work, but there's no connection to the upper. So you have people who are imbalanced in both areas.
So true.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I love that. Tie your camel before you pray.
Yeah. Tie camel, then pray. Is that it, Monika? Yeah.
Tie camel, then pray.
Yes. It's tie your camel. Like, just a brief, the story was that Prophet Muhammad saw that a person was just letting his camel just be there. And it was like, well, why aren't you securing your camel? It's like, well, I trust that Allah, God, I trust God will take care of it. And he told him, tie your camel, then seek refuge in Allah. So for non-Muslims, it would be like, you know, don't just trust that it'll all manifest. You first do your part, and then you also bring in the divine to cover, back up, secure, help your intention that you want. Keeping your camel safe, tie it, then pray. So
yeah, because we're still human.
What I've heard is trust in God, but tie your camel.
Same thing, exactly. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I want to talk about just real quickly, and I have to say that I've been listening for how exactly to make this concise, and maybe Colleen can jump in here, is conscious choices in our personal lives as well. And this has actually been one of the things that, just on a personal level, Colleen being my mother and guiding me through my life has really taught me and talked to me, you know, taught me about. And I see it a lot in clients that are around my age, either a little older or a little younger. But it has been such a huge lesson in my life that making conscious choices personally makes also keeps your life happening. We hear a lot in our lives that like, oh, well, just whatever will be, and you know, you don't have to necessarily make the choices. It's like, it all works out as it should. And I'm not saying that's not true to a level, but I'll just use my personal relationship with my husband. You know, we've been together for 19 years now, not as long as 45. But the reason why I know this lesson is because I've listened to somebody who has been with their husband for that long, or their partner, I should say, for that long. That when times have got tough, you know, we had to make the choice to do the work to stay together. And this is just an example to like relate to the rest of your life, that there's that when those things happened, it wasn't just, okay, well, we're just going to see what's happened, what happens here. Like, no, you have to make the choices. You have to make the conscious choices to do the work, to keep this relationship going, to keep everything alive. Like, you have to make that choice. So there, a lot of these things in our lives are our choice. Happiness, for example, is a choice. Yeah, there's things that we want. There's things, and I'm not speaking about, obviously there's, you know, we have us that have mental health problems. And so I know that there's more to those kinds of issues than what I'm saying here. But there's things that we want, like I, you know, financially, career, things like that. But happiness is more of a state of mind. It's honestly, it's the journey, not the destination. And so you can make a choice in your daily life to be happy where you are with what you have, even though you still have wants and needs and other things that you want to accomplish, but that you still can make the choice in your daily life to be happy. You can make the choice in your daily life to be stable. And so just from a personal level, conscious choice comes in that way as well, not just in the five steps to manifestation. Make your choices consciously. That things just don't happen to have a stable, successful, happy life. Like, you have to make those choices to do that. So I think that's what I wanted to say about that. I don't know if you have more to add.
Well, we've talked about this because Robin's been talking about it in her generation in particular, that seems to be a common message of, you know, what will be, or if it's meant to be, it will be. And, you know, I like she said, I think there is some of that that's true. I guess where it also comes down to is conscious choice, conscious action. And you know, just the bottom line is, it's what choice is a conscious decision. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, moving into being thoughtful. So none of it is about the specific examples we're using, just more the idea that you choose consciously.
Yeah. I just used it. Obviously everybody's situations are different. So, but I just tried to use
that's how that worked for you.
Examples as a, to convey the message that, yeah, it's just been a really big thing for me personally. Like, oh, I can make this choice here, you know? So that's why I wanted to convey it. And I see it all the time in clients my age. So.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, I think what we want to do now is we are going to do a journey, and, the journey is...
Oh, do we have more on the... What?
Oh, yeah.
This. But do you want to talk about that later?
Go back to the journey first. Go back to that. So the next thing...
I don't think I'm sharing my screen. Hold on, guys. Sorry.
Stop screen share.
Wait, cancel. Yeah, I think I stopped the screen share. Share screen.
Okay.
There we go. There we go. Sorry.
technical.
And then now we have to go through all of it. Oh, no. There we go.
You're back. All right. Now we've got it. I'm going to move that over so we can see it. I like her to show all her PowerPoints because she spends a lot of time on them and, you know, does a lot of research with them. So this is her Bridge of Light, which I thought turned out fantastic, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
And
I didn't spend that much time on it.
It's all right. I'm like cooking.
I know.
Oh, it's not that good.
It's not that
good. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and we are going to journey to conscious choice. So there are,
thanks, Adon. Oh, no.
We're going to go ahead and journey to it. And again, since we referenced how in a session, there's typically some place to let go and some place to bring in. The same thing is going to occur in the journey. So the things that are restricting you, hiding you from yourself, getting in your way of your conscious choices. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get to the chat. People are chatting.
Oh, okay. So this is going to be a journey and we're going to go to conscious choice. You're going to let go of the things that are in your way. We're going to go to divine solutions, conscious choice, and conscious action. And in the journey, there is the awareness of being in your divine self and your human self. And so in the past, we have taken the Bridge of Light across to what we think of as the third heaven. This time, we're going to take the Bridge of Light. You're going to take it into yourself. So you'll be starting in the place of what's happening in my daily life. I'm human right now. This is what's going on. Your personality, your mind, your emotions, your physical body, who you are right here. And then that Bridge of Light is actually going to go inward through all the levels of your consciousness, all the way to your divine consciousness, where your divine solutions are. So we're going to take the journey inward this time.
Okay. And then we go into conscious choices, right? We come back over.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I had to finish the rest of it. So then after you go into your divine self and divine solutions, we're actually going to come back over the bridge. I never know exactly how it works, so don't hold me to it. But we're going to come back over the bridge into your human self for your constructive solutions and your conscious choices and your conscious actions in your daily life. So we're going to be working both in your divine self and your human self. They are the one same self. And part of what this is helping you to do is to understand that all of you is right here in your body. You're not actually separate. The Bridge of Light is a tool to get you to your inner self. You know, at some point, you don't need the bridge to cross over it. You can just be there. I still am really helped by the bridge to get me deeper into myself. And that's what I love with Reiki, is taking this all the way to Reiki energy, is the Reiki energy. We can have all these concepts. What we actually have with Reiki is the energy that supports both the release, the receiving, and the revealing. So the energy does that with us and for us. Again, another divine gift. So that's why we're using the Reiki energy. And I'll just give a quick example. For instance, I've been, my latest article for Reiki News Magazine for the summer is called Reiki Heals the Shoulds. You know, all those pesky shoulds that just, if I'm doing this, I should be doing that. Or if I'm doing that, I should be doing this. And all the way to the very big shoulds. And you guys that are therapists probably know that there is the whole term of shoulding yourself. And, you know, that it can actually be a debilitating problem for people. I've started looking that up, and there were 23 Google pages of articles on that topic, but none of them actually had an energy that you could do something about it. It explained it. It told you what they were. Some of them did have some skill builders, but this is the one that what I could write about on that same topic is, how do you actually use the energy to help you heal those certain parts of yourself that are struggling? And then how the energy actually empowers you. So it's not just about healing and the release. It's also about the receiving and then the revealing. It empowers you to actually reveal who you really are, what your real choices are, so you can be conscious about them every day. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you walk around all guru-ish. I don't walk around all guru-ish, but I know that I am paying attention to what I'm thinking about. And I notice when I'm not paying attention to what I'm thinking about. And sometimes that's okay. I don't need to pay attention all the time to everything I think. But other times when I really need to, I have the ability to take my mind and be in a conscious, mindful awareness. And the energy is what helps me do that. Reiki does that with me and for me. So all of this combined is giving you a continual skill builder in how to access your higher consciousness, your higher thought in your daily life, how you can hear your inner guidance, spiritual guidance, and have it be real for you in your daily life. How you can access your intuition, your listening ability, that deeper inner ability. So that's what this journey is about. And it's going to take you deeper into yourself. And so if, you know, we can go ahead and see if anybody has any questions or anything. After that, we're going to go ahead and take a break and come back and get ready for the journey.
Is it natural for there to be a moment of apprehension when you said, we're going to journey into yourself? And I felt for a brief second, a little bit of, what? And I was observing, oh, that reaction was interesting to me because we're so used to going over the bridge of light and everything. But when you said go journey into yourself, something inside was almost briefly like apprehensive just for a moment. So that was something I observed.
Great. Yeah. Well, that will be in the journey then.
Yeah, you'll find out. And yes, it's absolutely normal to have some resistance to some of these things, whether it's this or a different topic that we talk about.
I had the same experience. I was like, oh no, I'm so confused these days. I don't want to go into myself.
I'll just get lost wandering around up there. All who wander are not lost.
Yes. Very true.
Well, and to be clear, we are going to the divine realms still. So don't worry, you guys. Yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, realms. It also, what happens is it's revealing to you already some of the things that are ready to be released. Mm-hmm. That's what it really is to, you know, it's a little bit of a heads up. Like, oh, I didn't know that was there. Theoretically, if someone had told you that, you'd think, oh yeah, that sounds good. Then it's like, no, we're going to do it now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I remember I had a conversation with a young man and we were talking about God and something, and I can't remember exactly how he said it now, but I was so surprised. And I said, oh, so that God can see you, something like that. And he said, oh, I never want God to look at me. And I was, he's like, then he will know what's really inside. And I just thought, wow, who taught you to think about God like that? That, you know, you would not want to be seen by God. And so I think we can all be affected by self-doubt. We can be affected by that collective consciousness out there that creates self-doubt, collective beliefs out there that whether we believe them or not, we're affected by them.
Our own intrusive thoughts as well.
Intrusive thoughts, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But more than anything, it'll show you what's going on for you.
Yeah, and I know that I have a habit of wanting to negotiate with God. Uh-huh. I know that sounds rough, but like, you know, like I'll be really good and I'll do this and this and this. But this particular area is like, you know, I don't want anything to affect this area, or like, you know, like there's certain precious things to me, like my family or Adon or my children, that I don't know. There's a level of protection, I guess, but I feel like protection sometimes is rooted in fear. And so then the question is, well, what am I protecting? What is there to protect, right? And so it's an interesting inquiry that I have around it, because I do find myself negotiating quite a bit. Maybe it's because I'm married to a lawyer. I'm not sure.
Constantly having to negotiate. Well, I think too, Allie, that there's a lot of times that we have fear around that any divine answer wouldn't be what we want it to be.
Exactly.
That it's somehow going to tell us that what we have in our lives isn't what the divine thinks that we should have, and we should have some other path. And what I can tell you, one, is that Reiki will never do that. It's an enlightened energy on its own. But the other thing, because I've had this, and it still crops up from time to time, but I've worked through it a lot. And what I've worked through it through sessions and such is that the biggest indicator of what your divine answer is what you're saying you don't want it to reveal. So if you're saying, if you're afraid that it's going to reveal that is like something about your family that you're like, oh my God, I could never, I hope that it would never reveal. I'm so afraid that it would reveal that. Well, there's your answer right there. You know that your divine answer is that you would never want it to reveal that. So that's your answer. It's not what possibly it could reveal. Your answer is that choice that you're making in your life right then and there. That's your answer. I used to have fear around my relationship. I just had this with a client. I used to have fear around my relationship because I used to think, oh God, you know, we started dating so young. Yeah. We started dating so young. What if this isn't what life has in store for me? And what if I have different answers and it's going to reveal that I should take some other path? And what I learned through sessions with this one here is that, well, no, actually, that's your choice, that you don't want it to reveal that. So your choice is that you want to be with this person. And that's the answer. So that's the other thing around those fears. I've had those for a really long time. So I get what you're saying.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to take a break. And when you come back, be prepared for a journey. Get your journals, your music, all those things. And we'll turn your videos off now if you want, or you can leave them on. And then when you come back, if you'll turn them on so we know you're back. And stop recording.
Stop recording.